I think we have a lot of people from up north. They're frozen in, right? Okay. All right, everyone, let's jump in and talk about this terrific book. I don't know how many of you on the call have actually read it yet or been exposed to it, but a lot of you have been exposed to Eric Worre because the Rise of the Entrepreneur DVD has been out there for a while, and we actually did a big, huge program at Texas Tech University this last week where we had an event on the Rise of Entrepreneur, and we showed that video for 45 minutes or whatever length it is. We put in a school room on Texas Tech campus, and we had every student received an email that it was happening, and then we had a snowstorm that day. It's like, you know what, if anything could go. But we were still excited. We had 20-some associates sign up, and we had like 10 or 15 students. So we still, you know, it could have been a total bust because it was awful weather. But we still had a great filled room that looked good. I mean, not totally filled. Probably it was half full. But we put red balloons. The girls up there, Sharon Adams was terrific. She put red balloons, helium-filled red balloons, throughout the room, which was tied into Eric Worre's Rise of Entrepreneur, and it was just a really neat event, and we got some leads out of it. Some of the people came back on Friday night, and we have a number of them that are really seriously looking at this as an opportunity, so it's exciting. So many ways, in fact, we're talking about doing this every quarter, so there are many ways of using Eric Worre's stuff, but that DVD is terrific. It gives you all the reasons in the world why you'd want to get involved in network marketing. But he also wrote a book called GoPro. It's relatively new. I think it was published last year. It came out last year, I think. I'm pretty sure. I just got a hold of it a month and a half ago, and of course read it on an airplane ride and just absolutely fell in love with it. Lydia and I ordered 25 of them, and we're trying to get these in hands of every brand new person that I bring on board, because this book does more training in one book than in a great way, than I can probably get to one person individually. So I'm making it in my organization for me, and recommendation to all my associates in my group, that when you get a brand new business builder or somebody who's interested in looking at the business, doing the business, that's the first thing I give them. I say, read this. I want you to read this, because it gives them a real great opportunity to understand what it is to be in network marketing. So let's jump in and talk about what he talks about. I'm going to review again the introductory chapters and then go into the first two of the seven skill sets. And next week I will conclude GoPro with the other five skill sets. So we'll have it over a two-week period. I didn't want to shortchange you on any of the great information in the book to try to cram it into one training. So let's talk about GoPro, Seven Steps to Becoming a Network Marketing Professional. Of course, in the first chapter of the book, he really started about himself. He was writing about what did he do when he jumped in on board in network marketing, and this is another reason why it's such a great story. You know, some of my favorite stories, I don't know about you guys, but I was at a network marketing professional convention a couple years back, and I'm going again this year, and now I made a commitment to myself. I am a network marketing professional, so I'm going to the convention every single year, not to skip it because it's part of my profession. And so when I went to that first one, it just kind of blew me away. But there's a guy who got on stage, and his name was Jordan Adler. I don't know how many of you heard of him. He wrote a book called Beach Money, I think. That was his book, Beach Money. And I had read that book already. But there he was on stage, and he just showed he let go from his hand to introduce himself when he was the first 5 minutes of his talk. And he had these credit cards all, like, taped together, like in a line, you know, and they dropped almost to the floor. I mean, there must have been 50 credit cards in his hand. He goes, I was in a place where I'd spent 10 years in 11 different network marketing companies and failed at every one of them, and this was my credit card capped. I had maxed out on all of these credit cards. He goes, that's where I was. And he said, do you think I gave up? He goes, no. He said, I always believed in the model. And then someone sent him to, you know, a professional network marketer, and he got some great advice, really one bit of advice, and it totally changed his life. Now Jordan Adler is a multi-millionaire. So as I saw that, I said, that means there's hope for everybody out there, right? Because some of us stumbled out of the blocks. I did. I didn't stumble a long time, but I had my first 6 months of trials and tribulations that almost, you know, knocked me off the horse. But, you know, Eric Worre was the same way. I mean, he spent 3 years. And the intriguing thing is, you know, if you don't treat it like a business, and that's exactly what Jordan Adler, he didn't either, and how many others? Literally hundreds of thousands of people who join network marketing don't treat it like a business. They come involved, Eric Worre said, he said, I got involved and I said, wow, I can make a few phone calls, make some money. So that's what he did. He was hoping and praying to get lucky. He was hoping for some of you know Jet or other the kingpins in Manitech. You'd love to sign up, Wendy, or you'd love to sign up the Roys, or you'd love to sign up, all these people that are doing and have done so great in Manitech. You're just looking for those people. You're looking for that great person, and you're just hoping to be lucky. And he goes, absolutely wrong attitude. It's an attitude of failure, not of success. I've seen some people get lucky, and they found a person like Wendy Kramer in their downline. But the problem was they never found a second one, and they're regional directors with millions of dollars a month in volume underneath them, but they're only regional directors because they still haven't decided to do the business. They just came in to try to be lucky. And of course, when you try to get lucky and, things don't go the right way for you, your positive attitude soon dries up, right? It starts going away. And then you start getting in the blame game because clearly it's somebody else's fault. You blame the product, you blame the company, you blame the economy, you blame your upline, on and on and on. We love to point fingers at other things and other people instead of taking a look in the mirror. So he decided after he went through this failure part, he said, okay, I'll give it a try again. I'm really going to work hard, building. And then he went and he work, and he rebuilt his organization 7 different times over the next 3 years. And every time he built it up, it all fell apart. He'd go back and rebuild it, it all fell apart. And 3 years later, he was almost had totally lost all hope. He just said, this doesn't work, this model doesn't work. How many of you can raise your hand, say, been there, done that, watched it happen, felt it happen? And that's what they were doing. It doesn't work, all this stuff. And he went out and started looking at other jobs, in fact, and he decided one more time, he goes, you know what, these other jobs just aren't what I want to do. But he still wasn't, he was like done in his head a little bit about network marketing until 2 things happened. One, he happened to be watching a television show, and he was watching this guy who was an expert on a specific topic. And he saw that how to become an expert, the guy actually talked about that, and he said, read everything you can, learn everything you can get your hands on, and learn it completely. Completely. Don't learn it halfway. Don't learn it just surface. Learn it completely. And he said, wow. That's cool. So I can be an expert in anything. I can go out there, read everything I can, and learn it completely and become an expert. Then it just so happened that same week he went to an MLM convention. And he came to the realization as he was sitting in a chair at this convention, as you show up and manifest, you go, I can learn all these skills, perfect them, and become a multi-level marketing expert. And in that instant, it totally changed his life. He didn't have to worry ever again about being lucky. And that's what Eric Worre says. He says, in this book, I'm going to give you the fundamental principles that can guide you to become a network marketing professional. So, perfect, huh? Great acknowledgement. Some of you can, do you see why I love that so much to give to brand new people? Because that's the path so many people take. They want to skip the step of putting the time and dedication and energy into being an expert. Now, does that step take one day? No, but it's a dedication of time and effort and energy to become the expert. And when I look back at my career in network marketing, one of the things that totally changed my life, people say, well, Mary Jo, what was the light switch on and off for you? I said, I'll never forget it. I said, I was, for 6 months, I struggled. I was telling everybody when they said no to me that they're clearly, they need the Ambertos. That's proof in and of itself because they couldn't even, their brain didn't even function to let them know they needed it. So you need it, but that wasn't very effective as a way to get people started, as you can tell. So I went to a training, and it was Dr. Nisi Moore who was doing the training, and she taught me some things about overcoming objections that I never knew. I didn't understand that the hardest objections I have in my life to overcome are the ones that I have something inside of me that's telling me they're true. I believe in the objections. When you believe in objections, you're not going to be able to overcome them. Do you get that? So I needed to work on Mary Jo first. But the other thing that was so major was going to Shirley Thomas and Lowell Thomas's training, and they said, here's a book you ought to read. It was called Being the Best You Can Be in MLM by John Kalinch. And, you know, it was the reading and the education and the my commitment from that day forward that this isn't something I can just go out and do. Because sometimes your upline tells you, hey, just go out, make a list. Now go out and share with people. Get them, you know, get them to a one-on-one. Here's a flip chart. Wrong, 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 wrong. My brand-new business builder in Bastrop, I don't think she's given any presentation yet, and she's already reached regional director. Why? Because she's learning. She's still in the learning process, and she knows three-way calls, have Mary Jo come in my town, do presentations, watch them on Tuesday Night Live. She gets it that she is learning as she goes through all this. She doesn't want to be out there trying to be the professional when there's professionals doing it for her that are going to help her be more successful. And who taught her that? Mary Jo. So as we don't stop and dead in the grass when we don't have the education or don't feel like we're on the path to being an expert yet. We get other people to help us. We get use other tools that help us. But we still start stretching ourselves and growing. We say a little bit more every time we talk to somebody. A little bit more, and we keep learning and growing by watching other people and doing three-way calls and those kind of things. So definitely critical. That's can be a total shift in your life in network marketing to start developing an understanding. And that's what GoPro is for me. It's that MLM, How to Be the Best You Can Be in Multi-Level Marketing book, but it's done in a different fashion. I still love John Kalinch. I still recommend the book by all means, but this book to me is just an absolute bare bones, absolute no nonsense, no questions asked. If you don't read this book, then guess what? I don't want you in my organization. Does that make sense? It's kind of like read this first. And the reason, and I love you, and I'm not saying I'm kicking you out of my downline. I'm just saying this book can give you so much insight to help you move forward in a significant way that do not go one step further without reading this book. So for my book of the month, my brand new business builders, this is their first book I want them to read. All right, second chapter. Hope I emphasize that. And no, I'm not getting commissions from Eric Worre on his books, sales. I just love it that much. Number two, network marketing. It isn't perfect, it's just better. So in other words, we don't need to use those absolutes. In fact, if you were at the training at the leadership event last November, you heard Dr. Nugent, how many times when he talked about the product training did he say, quit using absolutes. Don't say always, the best, you don't need any of that. People hear what they're going to hear anyway. When you talk about how terrific this product is, they're going to make the assumption it's the best. You know, that starts feeding into their brain. You don't need to use those absolute terms because absolute terminology can absolutely turn people off. So when we talk about network marketing, I love Eric Worre. He says it's not perfect. There is no model that's perfect, but it's better. And he went through in his book, and I'm not going to go into all this, but he kind of analyzed, he looked at, you know, what are blue-collar careers and what that means to you, and he looked at all the positive, all the negatives, he analyzes all that, which is a good thing for a brand-new person, right, to look at, and he says, a blue-collar career, what can blue-collar people do, and all that kind of stuff, and so you analyze what a blue-collar worker is, and then you can analyze, you know, what is a white, and when he analyzed these things, the neat thing that he did, he talked about, you know, treating it like a profession, how we treat it like a profession, right? How do we treat a blue-collar worker as a profession? So, you know, some people can't even foresee that as a profession. They're just so dissatisfied. And if they looked at, he said he talked to a bunch of people about what would be the perfect career characteristics. In other words, what are the things you want the most out of a career, and what are the things you want the least out of a career, right? And what are the absolute no's and what are the yeses? And when he drafted this chart out for blue-collar careers, there are a ton of things that people didn't want in their life. People start naming things like no boss, no commute, no alarm clock, no employees, no politics, no compromises, no educational requirement, right? All these known, and you know what? In the blue collar careers, all of those exist, right? You have a boss, you hit the alarm clock, you have commute, there are a ton of employees around you, you don't get to choose who you work with, on and on and on. And so when he made this list of positive things you don't want, things you do want, and he went through all these four, these different career statuses, guess what? All the things you don't want are in most of those career statuses, and the things you do want aren't there. So he looked at, why am I choosing career paths that don't have the things I want and have the things that I don't want? So he started saying all those old forms of compensation are really dead and dying. You know, in fact, a lot of them under the new economy, if you really want to analyze the new economy, a lot of this is disappearing on us because we have a major shift in our new economy, and I'll go over that in a second. But the idea is that, you know, the shift that's going on is changing everybody's life. And people recognize that. I'll go over it right now because it's so strong in my brain. This past weekend on Saturday, after I did my full day of training, my associates, because I was staying for an incredible Christ in the Arts dance performance, which was, by the way, just absolutely terrific, in Lubbock. Instead of, I usually come home on Saturday afternoon after the training. But so since I had Saturday afternoon open, Lydia, of course, scheduled a 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5. So I had 5 more meetings to go to, or one-on-ones and new people. And so one of them that I went to was a woman in our organization, and her 2 sons were there. They're both in their 20s, classic millennials, very bright kids. And she wanted me to present network marketing as a business opportunity to them. Now, one of them has a job that's making he's 20-some years old, making $47,000 a year. The other one didn't share his salary, but he's in engineering, and he does computer technology, and so he's making great money, master's degree. So both of them were sitting back, and you could tell they really didn't, they were kind of doing it for mom, and we had the greatest conversation. But you know what was so much fun about it? What was really a lot of fun about it is when the mom looked at her son, who is in the computer technology arena and civil engineering, and he said, well, you know, Mary Jo has, you know, a lot of things that I agree with. And he said, because what I do today, and I'm paraphrasing what he said to me, he basically said, my job is a job where I build technology to terminate jobs. He goes, we have a whole team of 60 people that we're engineering and using technology to replace jobs. And he goes, and the intriguing thing about that is he says, not only is the technology so rapidly changing that these job markets, we continue to see where we're eliminating jobs in this arena, we're eliminating jobs in this, we're eliminating, he goes, but I myself in 5 years will become obsolete in my current job. Because the new technology that's coming up and the new kids coming through school are going to replace me. And it was like, wow. I mean, people, wow. This is a 23-year-old kid acknowledging exactly what we've been talking about over the last year about the new economy. And he can see it in his own first job right out of school that he has a 5-year term max in the position he's in. So he got it. Isn't that? I just thought that was, I loved hearing from him. In fact, I'd love to tape him and put him on one of a tape that we put out there. Yeah, it would be so impressive. And maybe, great idea. I'm writing that down. Thanks for the idea, you guys. I'm glad we have these Monday calls so ideas pop in my head. CD from Justin. Okay, I got the note. All right, but the importance is that we understand that our new economy is so different. The world as we know it has changed. For the people who don't recognize that fact, it's going to be the worst of all times. But for the people who do, it's going to be the best of all times. So one of the things that's happening, you know, we look at the historical kind of the 40-40-40 plan. Well, you know, we used to talk in network marketing about why would you want to choose 40-40-40? Why do you want to work 40 years of your life and retire and make 40% of what you made, right? Yeah, I mean, who wants to do that? And that's what we used to say is that was an alternative to what we had to offer. Well, we can't say that anymore because it doesn't exist. The 40-40 plan really doesn't even exist in our marketplace anymore because our marketplace has changed dramatically just in the last 15 years. companies are smarter, they're laying off people, they're hiring contractors, and they're giving people, this is what's happening in the employment industry. If you don't recognize it, let me suggest that you know, if you have some kids in their 20s, you might see more of this, just like my experience this past weekend. But the idea was this, that people are now being hired. In fact, my niece has just quit her job because she wanted to have a life. She was in the restaurant industry, loved it, was absolutely stellar. I mean, they promoted her all the way to the top, but she never could go to church. She never could watch her Green Bay Packers, and she worked 18-hour days, 6 days a week. And she just finally, after 6 years of that nonsense, she said, I'm done. She gave a month's notice, and she's out looking for other jobs. Well, the job she's looking at, they want to hire her, and they want to pay her a base salary of 20, and she can make up to $70,000, but the other 50 is based on performance. Wow. Are you getting this? Payment for performance. And these jobs used to be salaried positions, no more. Payment based on performance. That's our new economy. So, in the new economy, there's a far less need for jobs because of the exponential rise in technology. We see the job market drying up, and it's all payment for performance. So get clear on what we're going to. Why is network marketing the best way to survive? Now, network marketing. Consumers still need to be educated. So every single person that's selling a product, every corporation selling a product needs to educate consumers. So that educational realm has to still happen. Number two, we know that people, the number is like 85% of people would rather buy something based on a recommendation of a friend than they would on traditional marketing because people have been defrauded too many times and they don't trust. They said over half of the population does not trust traditional marketing. And 85% would rather buy based on a recommendation of a friend. So we know connector society is here to stay. It carries tremendous weight in people's decision-making process. And finally, what better model of payment for performance than network marketing? Because that's exactly what we're about. We don't get paid until we get somebody started on the products, right? Manatech's not paying us before we get people started. They go out and get people started, and then we pay commissions based on that. But here's the clincher. We have a payment for performance model that has a huge residual side to it. Follow me? So there's no cap on the upside, and it's not a stress that every day I have to worry about making the next sale in order to make the commissions. We have a residual income that is not capped in network marketing. So how awesome is that? It's like the perfect model. I love that concept. And the only downside, as Eric Worre says, he says, you must accept. And he says, I don't even like the word accept, but you must be ready to experience a temporary loss of social esteem from ignorant people. And he's absolutely right. There are people out there, as you all know, when they do that nasally, is this network marketing? Is this direct sales? You know, just like my two kids I worked with in their 20s when they, you know, you could see they had a little edge about them about network marketing. But by the time I was done and walked out of their house, both of these young men asked me to get back in touch with them. I would like to see some information. One wanted some of the scientific background, obviously the engineering guy. He wanted, you know, the scientific basis and all that background. So I told him I'll be happy to say that. The other guy was interested in the business model because he really wants to, he has a dream. I mean, he's the dreamer. He wants to have unlimited income. And he's working right now in Midland, which is an oil boom town. But what's happened to oil recently? It's becoming an oil bust town. So, I mean, he sees the ebbs and the tides. He wants something stable that's going to produce unlimited income for him. So how much fun is that? But again, they started off with that, you know, kind of concept. And it's not that, and I don't like even the word ignorant necessarily. I would say unknowing. I think these are people that are just uneducated, or the majority of which, as Eric says in here, is they've had some experience in network marketing, but they just went into it and tried to be lucky. So they came in as what he calls the posers. They treated the business as a lottery ticket instead of treating the business as a professional business. If you treat it as a professional business, it will give you professional results. And one of the things, just a heads up for some of you in the field today, one of the things that I did when I went out to Lubbock this weekend with my group is I had a big meeting with the steering committee, and I said, let's up the professionalism of who we are. Because if we show up lackadaisical and casual, casualness creates casualties. So let's not do that anymore. Let's really take this seriously. We're in a profession, and let's show a higher level of professional. So we talked about how the meetings were held, how the trainings were done, exactly what's going to happen, having name tags, wearing better clothing, making sure our hair is done nice, making sure we have greeters, making sure it's more professional look. We don't put whiteboards in the front of the room and write on them what are the next upcoming events. You know, they might be off on the side. Our tools table is very professional. I mean, we talked about all of that. Raise the bar. You want to attract better people. You respect your business as a profession. Guess what's going to happen? You're going to create a better result. So we talked about that. So anyway, network marketing. And he talked about networking. He says, you know what? It's not perfect. Anyone who, again, don't use absolutes, but it's better than what's available in the marketplace today. For the majority of people, it's absolutely better than what they have available to them. And I'm talking about maybe not the upper 5% in our country, perhaps, but there's still 95% of this country that this is a better model for them. So if you're going to be in network marketing, decide to be a professional. Again, go pro. Posers treat business as lottery tickets, hope to ride somebody else's coattails, and you know what? Those are the people that have a negative attitude about network marketing. It didn't work because I tried to be lucky. And then he said, you have the amateurs, and those are people that focus on luck. They try to find the perfect downline, timing. They worry a lot about, hey, did I get in early enough? Did I miss the growth curve? You hear these people from time to time. And I started laughing. I said, you know, Manitech had its biggest burst in presidential directors, creating presidential directors, like their ninth year. So what does that tell you? I mean, I don't know how you can say it's related to a specific, you know, timing. A lot of people have that in history. They say, well, if you don't get in at the beginning, you can never make $1 million. There's nothing further from the truth. In fact, our Quali Q13 Platinums, Louis and Leone, they got involved in Manitech, 6 years ago? Say 8 years, 7 years ago? And the company was already 14 years old. So don't ever tell me that there's a timing element in it. Three, they look for, positioning, get in the right organization. They complain, am I in the right organization? Do I have the right upline? You know, wah, wah, wah. I mean, Eric Worre was all over that one. He says, you take responsibility for your business. Don't point a finger at anyone else. Take full responsibility for your business. It's no one upline from your ever is it their fault for anything that happens. You take responsibility because you're an independent business owner. So it's not about getting in the right organization. You can get training anywhere. You can go to all the events. We have now super regionals coming on board in the second quarter of this year. There's going to be a super regional in all of your areas, right? So how great is that? All the training that you want, there's plenty on the websites. It's not about your upline. It's not about getting in the right organization. And that's what I always tell people. I have people all the time. They go, oh, Mary Jo, I wish I would have gotten in your organization. You have such a heart. And I go, man, you're lucky exactly where you are. Build it where you are. And one of the neat things is we have these kind of Monday calls like this. You can be touched by Mary Jo every week if you choose to. You don't need to be in my organization. You don't need to be in Wendy Kramer's organization. She has an incredible website for people to use. You don't need to be in Roy's organization. They have calls that they open up to Crossline. You know, people everywhere are doing this, and it's wonderful to see that people are catching on to this. They're probably, in fact, one thing that bothers me, I think some of you guys become call junkies. You're on 18 presidential calls during the week instead of doing the business. So be careful of that. Okay, but there's plenty of educational learning out there. And people take shortcuts. Any gimmick to get me down the road. You know, we want to get shortcuts. We want our business to grow fast. We want to be hot out of the box. We want to get to presidential tomorrow. Forget it. These are amateurs. Go pro. So what's the third level? Posers, amateurs. The third is go pro. Become a network marketing professional, a person who is an expert at the skills required to build a large and successful network marketing organization. And he talked about enthusiasm. It's great to have enthusiasm, but you better marry it with that passion with skills. just enthusiasm only gets you so far. And it's what Eric Worre had. He had enthusiasm. That's why he built and watched his organization collapse, what he say, 7 times. You can do the same thing. That's called all on pure energy and enthusiasm. Marry it with skills. And the Outlier book talked about practicing to reach the expert level, and it's focusing on the skills. I love that. He says, my world changed when I started focusing on the skills that made the commitment to practice until I mastered them. And that's what each of us needs to do. Practice. Here's an idea for some of you leaders out there too. I'm starting to do 3-way calls with people who have been in my organization for 10 years. And you go, wow, why do they need 3-way calls? Because this is a new day in Manatech. And as long as they feel totally uncomfortable about how they would do a 3-way call, why do I care if I do 3-way calls with them? Bring on new people, let Mary Jo do, because I've been doing them like extensively over the last few months, and I love doing 3-way calls. And it is new languaging. It is different from where I was 5 years ago. So these people need to be retrained. And if they want to get retrained by listening to you, that's a great way to do it to help them be more effective in signing people up. So start looking at that. I was blind to that until just recently, that's why I open it up to you guys as well. He says, you know, when you shift to a position of excellence, those around you will shift as well. So that's why we choose excellence. That's why we upgrade. If you're going to be involved in this great profession, decide to do it right and treat it like a profession. I love that quote. It can take you out of working a job that doesn't make you happy to a place of total freedom. I am a network marketing professional. Exactly. And then he goes and he says, you know, what are the, we need to learn some skills. And if you look at basically what is your network marketing business, you have 3 things. You have the company products, you have the company's compensation plan, and then you have the most important element, which is you. And this is where he got into take responsibility for your own business. Don't look at your upline. You are responsible. And it doesn't mean say goodbye. He said say goodbye to your upline. That came out of the book. But he doesn't mean, like, don't tap into them. Use them as a massive resource. But you take full responsibility for what happens in your business. So let's jump in. Now we're going to review 2 of the skills. And then, again, like I said last, hopefully all that intro stuff meant a lot to you. It meant a ton. In fact, I could teach and train that 100 times a day. It's such invaluable information. And hopefully it touched you as well. I didn't want to just do a cursory job of that. So now we're going to go over 2 of the skills, and then we're going to finish off next week with the other 5. So, and these kind of fit with what we talk about, the core 4. The first 4 are basically the core 4. The first one is finding prospects, right? Well, we talk about making the contact list. That's what this is too. But he goes further into finding prospects as well. But he talks about building that list. You know, when we build the list, who do you know? You make a list. The posers tend to make a list of about 4 or 5 people that they'd really like in their organization, and they're hoping and praying to get lucky. And he said the statistic is that about 80% of the people that join you in network marketing join with that in mind. So that's why GoPro is such a terrific book, because it tells them, don't do that, right? You're not going to make it. Don't be a person that whines about network marketing not working because you came in with the idea of 4 or 5 people and it doesn't work. So it's educate people. This isn't about luck, right? The amateurs, okay, so that's the posers. The amateurs, that second level, make a written list. And that's like you and me. I got involved in my person. I'm not even sure I'm sure my upline must have told me to make a list, but I sure don't remember it. I sure didn't follow it very well. I just kind of went out there and kind of did my thing. I was more concerned probably because I was a lawyer. I didn't necessarily go after people that I practiced law with or was around in that arena when I or more or less went out and approached people in my church and people that I met every day. I tried to do a lot of, you know, green marketing, you know, like just new marketing out there. And I also was pretty smart with finding people and tapping into other people's network. I did a lot of that, which is significantly a great way to build a business, by the way. People who know other people. And every single one, just for some perspective for you guys, every single business builder I have in my organization today, I didn't know when I started doing Manatech. None of them were in my panoply of people I knew. So that gives you some idea of how your organization actually builds. It's not it's not about people that you know necessarily, but that's where you start because that gives you a great training ground, and it also gives you a higher likelihood that people will join you, at least if not to do the business with you, to take products because they already know you and have some faith or trust in you. Make sense? So we go out there. We make a list. We put a big, big list together. The amateurs make this big, huge list. So, and you go, well, Mary Jo, you're not an amateur. And I said, well, I was an amateur for quite a period of time. But they make a big list, and then we go out there and we just start contacting people. And the problem with that is that we just like run like rabbits to start contacting people, and we have an expectation of great results when we have not perfected our skills. We have not started working our skills. We don't see that we're not doing three-way calls. We're not giving ourselves time to learn. We're not delving ourselves into great books to really learn what that language looks like. Drafting scripts, perhaps. That's why people get so high on scripts, because people don't know when they first get started how to talk to people, so they have scripts for them to use. And I used to be always against scripts because I loved just coming from my heart. When I first figured out that I needed to do that, that took about 6 months in and of itself as well. But the idea was that you can do all of those things to help people be more effective, but the problem with amateurs is they fail to recognize the critical importance of skills. And then when you diminish your list because you have no skills when you're calling everybody, trying to get everybody started, then you give up. And this is why some people that you start, you know, maybe 1 out of 10 that you start when they make their list, 1 out of 10, do pretty well because they either have done network marketing before, they inherently have some of these characteristics and qualities of just getting people to trust them that works, they have a good sphere of influence, they've had influence over these people. I mean, it's because more of their past than it is because of their quality of their skills. So maybe you'll hit and miss and get 1 out of 10 or 1 out of 20 that really can do this business right out of the box. But why aren't we building it so everybody can do the business out of the box? Because we're not leading, right? I'm going to suggest I'm not, okay? Historically, what was I doing about this? So we have to start looking at ourselves as leaders. How am I getting people the skill set, develop the skill sets, right? And the pros, they approach finding people to talk to as a core skill. They get it that this is a skill set. They also look at their list, building their list, and they say, this is a skill set. Even building my list is a skill set, and I'm going to figure out how to build my list, and I'm going to add to my list every single day. They never stop adding to their list. It's an active candidate list, and it's a skill set. And there are 4 simple steps to master the skill. He said, number 1, make your list as comprehensive as possible. In other words, we all know that. That's something we always train. Empty your mind on the paper as many as you possibly. Use your memory jogger. I don't even think he used the word memory jogger in his book, but I put that in parentheticals in there because that's how we do it. And it's necessary to do it. It's necessary to do it up front. And the reason we want to build a ton of people on our first list is because if the first 5 people say no, we don't feel like our business is gone. Half our business is gone. So I always have required the first step out of the box with my new people is, when are you going to have your list of 100 people down? And I require a list of 100. And when they can't come up with it, I give them the memory jogger. When they still can't come up with it, I tell them, would you go to church? I said, get your church directory. Yeah, I mean, you probably have at least 100 in there, right? Or it's a really tiny church, but there are tiny churches out there. But it's you know, that I help them with ideas on how to build that list. But I don't start working with somebody until they have 100 on their list. That's a number 1 prerequisite. Otherwise, I don't start. Because I'm not going to build their business to fail. I want them to build a standard. If I don't build a standard working with them, they're not going to build a standard with their new people that they start working with. I'm building these people to be professional network marketers. And the other thing, one thing I hadn't done that he mentioned in the book that I think is awesome is number two, we're only 6 contacts away from any person in the world. So that means think about all the people on your list and who they know. Start writing down all the people they know. Right? I've never done that before, and I think it's a great idea. So I'm adding that to my panoply of how to build that list and how I do the trainings on the 4 core. That's going to be part of it. 3, constantly expand it. Pros, add at least 2 people a day. We already talked about that. You know, we just constantly grow it. Number 4, network on purpose. Get out there and become part of different groups. Join meetup groups. Join BNIs. I have a lot of people in my organization that are in BNIs. I have people that go to meetup groups. You know what? But the problem is, you know what? They do it and then they stop. I have people that go to meetup groups, and then I talk to them a month later, and, oh, well, I haven't gone in a couple of weeks. I go, why? Oh, it's getting old. Oh, really? People get old on you? Okay. What? Meetup groups change all the time. Different people show up. It gives you the opportunity. People can show up at a meetup group and say, you know what, Mary Jo, I remember you talking about nutrition. I just ran across one of my friend's mom just got diagnosed with that. Do you think you might be able to help? You get it? Things change. They're not in the looking zone, but they might be in the looking zone. So when you join a meetup group, don't show up and not show up. Is that what you want to do for your business? That's how you're doing your business. You're showing up and not showing up. Aha. Uh-huh. Take a look at that. Okay, grow your business. Okay, so you'll grow your business as well as make new friends. Finally, the second skill I want to cover, and we've got about 5 minutes left. I'll try to get through as much as I can. Bear with me. The second one is inviting your prospects. Learn how to invite them to find out more about your opportunity. This is, as Eric Worre puts it, the most critical of all skills. Not closing, not presentation. This, in his opinion, is the most critical skill. And I would tend to agree, because if you can't get somebody to look at your opportunity, you never have a chance of closing them. So we need to really focus particularly on this skill. And you don't need a resume. You don't need experience. Being hungry is a good thing, because it's going to force you to go out there and talk to more people, right? Most people who get involved in network marketing start out with a pitch. They want to give a pitch. Then you act like you're a hunter. Hey, you know, I came across this science, and it's about nutritional health. Are you looking for something to help your nutrition? I think, you know, or this. Everybody needs it. I just did a training on that the other day with one of my associates. I said, do you like people to tell you what you need? No. No one wants to listen to somebody who says, well, you need this. Wah, 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 wah. You sound like their mother when they were a little kid. Don't tell me what I need. You know, you're independent. You're a young adult. You're whatever you and you're somebody's going to tell me what I need. No, but we want to go out there and give pitches. It's easy. We draft. We memorize a pitch, and we go out there, and we're like a hunter, and we're going after the hunted. He goes, great networkers are not hunters. You know what they are? They're farmers. They sow the seeds in the field, and they wait for the seed to sprout. They build relationships. They were able to build trust with people they met. They were able to skillfully transfer the belief they had about their products and opportunity to them. Because once you build the trust, now they're going to trust what you have to say. They don't seek to recruit. They seek to educate first and allow the prospect to decide. They act more like consultants. They build relationships and then offer common sense solutions to people's problems. I love it. So much of this is out of Michael Oliver's book, you know, if you guys read that. It's another great book out there to read about how to market to people and using the soft approach about getting to know them and then, you know, saying, hey, I have something that you might use. Instead of pitching, they just invite people to do two things, to attend some sort of event. You invite them to, hey, and this is what I love. I just ask, I tell people all the time. I say, when I meet new people, I just talk to them and I say, tell me about yourself. I even do some three-way calls. And I get to know them and I get to know their family. And inevitably, something comes up. And if it doesn't come up, first of all, let's talk about it. Let's say nothing comes up about health, wealth, mission, nothing. Now, which would be a very unique conversation. It might be one that you're involved in if you only talk to somebody for 10 seconds. But if you talk at any length, 3 minutes, 5 minutes, guess what? One of those topics will come. But let's say none of them come up. Then you just say, you know what, Sarah, this has been such a joy meeting you. I'd love to stay in touch. And you grab their information, connection. You grab their information to stay in contact. Where do they go? On your contact list. Do you call them the next day about Manatech? Probably not, because you already have your list of 10 you're working on this week, and maybe they're going to be a part of your 10 you work on next week. But they become part of your contact list, another name on your contact list. So that's if it does. If it does come up, you know what happens? At the end of the conversation, you go, you know, Sarah, it was absolutely awesome meeting you, and but I couldn't help feeling, having a heartfelt desire to support you around this issue that you mentioned. It says, I came across this breakthrough technology that's really making a difference in people's lives, and I'd love to share it with you. Do you have some time? Maybe tomorrow we can meet at Starbucks. What do you think? You get it? You just spent 5 minutes talking to them, and now you get to come back with that. And if they ask you what it is, you go, you know what? It's really very visual. I'd much rather sit down and meet with you to talk about it with you. And if they go, well, I'm so busy tomorrow. I said, well, how about if I send you something and and I call you back? And they go, yeah, that'd be great. And I said, but email, is that good? Great. Get their email address, right? And I go, when will you be able to look at it? This is all part of the process, people. When will you be able to look at it? And then when's a good time for me to reconnect with you? Should I call you at 5 tomorrow? Is that good for you? And they go, yeah, that's perfect. They'll say, great, 5 o'clock tomorrow, I'll give you a buzz. Take a chance to look at the stuff and we'll talk then. Bingo, right? All of it works. What doesn't work is if you try to stand in front of her in the grocery store line and talk to her about the science of glycobiology. That doesn't work. So lead them to attend some kind of event, to a one-on-one party, two-on-one, three-way call, whatever is available for you to do. All of those options are available. Or send them some information if you feel fluent that you can discuss it. If you're new, don't do that. Plan a three-way call. Let somebody else teach and train you how to do that. Right? Professionals understand how critical it is to have personal interaction, build trust, transfer belief. That's what professionals do. That's who we are. And if you're going to build the neat thing he talked about, and we're working on this right now, everybody, so put heads up, Yahoo. For building a large duplicating organization, another method is to use a tool. Remember how we used to hand out, like, Jeff Allen's tape or Mary Jo Hilliker's tape about her dad. We used to do it when it was all the non-compliance stuff, right? And we used to do this. Some of you are new, so you don't understand that. But we used to have a tool, and we just hand out a tool and say, watch this. When can I call you back? Well, we're building something like that that's a 10-minute, no more than 10 minutes, to have be kind of like one that you can use in mass quantities. So we're working on that right now as we speak, and I don't know when. I'm not making any commitments because Manatech's so caught up in manifest right now that that's not a priority today, but it is in the works. But the important thing is, step one, learn how to invite people to watch a video or watch something. If you're going to use a tool, follow up with the invitation to an event. Teach everyone else to do the same thing. Step one, step two, step three. And we have meeting cycles. Do you guys get this? You have biweekly meetings in your area. Every 2 weeks you have a meeting, a formal meeting, where they're invited and there's an association there and you have a bunch of people. And if you're not doing that right now, you can tap into Manatech's Tuesday Night Live or Manatech Now. But how do they get to the Tuesday meeting? By you finding them, doing one-on-ones, doing three-way calls, you know, having a whole meeting. All of those things are part of the meeting cycle that lead them into the next meeting. And they never come out of the meeting cycle until they sign up or they tell you no, and then they just stay on your contact list. Why? Because they're not in the looking zone right now, but you're open to have them look at it later. And pitching people and trying to dazzle them, the world with your wisdom, is absolute failure. And too many of us do that because we got so caught up in understanding glycobiology and glyconutrients, and we can describe how the endoplasmic reticulum has the glycoforms, and then they go into the Golgi apparatus to add the other glycoforms, and then they grow out of the side of the cell like a tree. I mean, people don't want to know that. Don't dazzle with your wisdom. So you do that out of a sense of insecurity. You want to come to them with boldness, with sense of security. You don't need to prove to anyone anything. The world just wants to hear from you, but they want to know how much you care, and they want to be able to trust you. And you're not going to get that by vomiting all over them about the science of glycobiology. Trust me, I did that for years. I'm done. I let the tools do the education, right? And your formula from financial independence, your ability to get a large group of people to do consistently what you're doing, right? The few simple things over an extended period of time. Highlight that in the outline because it's absolutely true. The emotions, quickly, I know I'm going past. The emotions of inviting, four simple rules. You must emotionally detach yourself from the outcome. Your emotional presence, whether they say yes or no, when you finally get to the point where there's no difference in your emotions, and you're not going to do that as a brand new person because you're so exhilarated when you sign somebody up. But when you get that, as you go down the road and you get the same response, I honor that because, you know what, I love it that people just paid attention. They had enough interest to give me time and energy and look at my materials. I thank them for that. And if they sign up, that's awesome as well. But that's what you want to do. Don't get disappointment. Focus on education and understanding, and you're always going to have fun with your prospects. You're going to enjoy the experience. When you focus on the close and the sale, you will be disappointed over and over and over again, and that negative emotion will overwhelm your business. Be yourself. Don't become a different person when you invite. Be you. Now, some of us need to work on ourselves a little bit. I work on myself every day. I think I'm always that green and growing person. When I need to shift, I shift. But the important thing is that we need to be ourselves. Don't be phony. Don't be in hiding. Be yourself. Bring some passion to it. Be enthusiastic. But again, don't over-enthuse, because you're going to cut out a certain quadrant of people that are get overwhelmed by all that excessiveness. I'm one of these very enthusiastic people, and I sometimes, when I read the quadrant they're in, I need to quash my enthusiasm a little bit, because it's not something that turns them on. It turns them off. So be cognizant of that. Excuse me. Have a strong posture. This is really critical. And boldness comes from where? Boldness comes from confidence. Confidence comes from where? Confidence comes from knowledge, skills, right? All of those things. Having great knowledge, having a belief system. You love being a professional network marketer. You love Manitech. You love glyconutritionals. You love this opportunity as an answer to the new economy. When you get convicted on all those things, the boldness will shine through. So, but that's what you want to work on, making sure you're bold. And then he gave us 8 steps to a professional invitation, and I'm going to tell you just run through them real fast. I'll be in a hurry with this to get you guys off the phone this morning. Be in a hurry. People are always more attracted to busy people. So when people say, well, what is it? You go, I'm sorry, I really can't handle it right now. I've got a couple more appointments this afternoon. Can I get back to you? Or can we have a call later? Or can we meet tomorrow at Starbucks? You follow me? Be in a hurry. People like busy people. Okay, number 2, compliment the prospect. Make sure it's sincere. Don't say something stupid just because you're trying to make something up. You know, when you meet a friend of yours, you can go, what did you always like in the person? That's why a lot of times when they say building your contact list, they have a column that says, what do you admire in this person? Because they want that to come up in the conversation. You want to compliment a person. When you compliment a person, what happens? You knock down walls. Now all of a sudden, they like you because you like them. You get it? It's reciprocal. It's reciprocated. You honor them. They go, wow, she really thinks the world of me. Well, I like her too. It's our human nature. This is a play on human nature. We know how we respond. This is the psychology behind it. Make the invitation. There are 3 different ways, direct approach, indirect, and super indirect approach. I'll go quickly. A direct approach would say, I think I found a way, or if there's a way to start a business part-time from home with no risk, would that interest you? That's kind of a direct approach. An indirect approach would be looking for some kind of guidance or input. You could. Some people go, can I practice on you? You have a lot of experience. I'd appreciate your input or guidance. You could say that to your warm market, right? To a cold market, you could say, my company is expanding in this or your area. Would you like to take a look at it and let me know if this would work? A super indirect method, which we've heard before, and Bo Short was famous at this, and he says, the business I'm in clearly is not for you, but who do you know that is ambitious, money-motivated, and would be excited about adding more cash flow to their lives? Or, you know, what he used to say when he stopped at a guy at Walmart, he would say something like, he says, listen, I just moved in this area, and I'm growing my business here, and I'm looking for somebody that might be interested in adding an extra $2,000 to $3,000 of cash flow to their life on a monthly basis. Do you happen to know anyone like that? Right? Remember how Bo used to teach us that? That's called the super indirect method. But so there's 3 methods of making that invitation. And some of it has to do whether you know the person or don't know them. If I would you, this is a reciprocal concept. It's about if I, and it's a great concept, and there's reasons for it, and it's again, part of our psychology. So if I gave you a DVD, would you watch it? If I gave you a CD, would you listen to it? If I gave you a link to a website with a presentation, would you check it out? Okay? When they say yes, you now confirm the yes. Okay? So you're building a reciprocal. It's very powerful. Because it's, if I do this, you will do that. It implies you have something of value to give back in return, right? You're giving them an offer of value. If they'll do it, you'll give it. If they say no, they won't look at it, then you don't send it to them. I have people that send it anyway. I go, no, really, right? And then you do a confirmation. When do you think you can watch the DVD? When do you think you have time to watch the DVD? And then now you confirm the time. So if I call you tomorrow morning, let's say around 10, you will have watched or listened for sure. Is that right? So you confirm it. It's a third yes. The first yes is they say, if I give you this, would you watch it? Yes. When do you think you have time to watch it? They get a time commitment. That's a second yes. When you confirm the time and say, when I get back to you and talk to you, you will have watched it. They say a third yes, right? Now you do the confirmation number three. You schedule the time. So it's, what's the best number and time for me to call? So it's schedule an appointment they have set. Now it's not your appointment. You schedule the next call. When is a what? What's the best number and time for me to call? Now you're asking them, when's the best time? When's the best number? It's an appointment they have set. You didn't set it. They set it. That's schedule the next call. So now you've gotten four yeses from the person, and you're off to the races. How many of you do that when you give somebody material? Probably not very many. And that's why you call back and you call back and you tell them, you get on a phone with Mary Jo or your upline and say, you know, I've called them back six times and I never can get through. They never, well, go through the process. Go through the process of confirmation, four yeses, and watch the results you create. And then get off the phone. Okay, people, that's it. Sorry I went over today. Great book. I'm just telling you. Next week, we'll go over the last five. I'm sure you'll enjoy every minute as well. Thanks. Any last-minute comments on the call? You guys enjoy it? Do you love GoPro? Do you love what you heard today?
This was a
fabulous call.
Mary
and a much-needed call.
Thank you. Somebody said had a question?
No. Yes. I was wondering about information about how to do a three-way call. Is there some training on that? If you don't have an upline person who
needs... Oh, golly gee, yeah, that's a little tougher if you don't have somebody in your organization or you might even find somebody in your area that's cross-line to you that might do that for you. I know I do that once in a while for people. But you're looking for how to do a three-way call. What does it look like?
Yes.
I've done a training on it. You know what? Let me send an email out to people. I'll try to dig that out and see if I can't find it and get it out to you guys. Okay? I'll put that on my list, to-do list today.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Yeah, three-way calls are absolutely crucial. Yes. Who else? Anyone else?
I hope you heard that it was a great call.
Thank you, Anita. I love you, dear, and I can't wait to see you at Manifest.
All righty.
Yeah, great book. And, you know, great call, but it's the great book. That's where the greatness exists. I'm just giving you the information out of the book that's so terrific that really you can see why I loved it so much and why I will use it. I mean, it's just that terrific. So, okay, everybody, love you all, and I'll try to get some information out about three-way calls. Just send out a general broad email to everybody on how to get started on those and make sure that they happen for you because they're really, for me and my organization, they're critical. I mean, it's absolutely, and I love them because it's my ability to train people, and that's what I love to do is help train people so that they can improve and get better because they're hearing from somebody that does it all the time, and that's how we get educated by people who are professional network marketers, right? And that's what we want to give back. Always pour into your organization. Okay, love you guys. Have a great week, and we'll talk next week. And don't forget, this is time, what? We're all winning the trip to the Mayan Riviera, so we want to get busy, 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 busy. Get that daily action tracker out and start working with it, or mana tracker if you're using that, awesome as well. We just want to make sure that everybody's working hard this business period. That's the most crucial business period of the whole incentive time is right now. And when next month comes, that's going to be the next most critical time period. But don't procrastinate on this. Have fun with it because there's, you know, getting free, all expenses paid vacations are terrific. If you've ever done it, if you've ever been on an incentive, you know what I'm talking about. And if you haven't, it's about time. Okay? Love you guys. Talk to you next week. Bye-bye.